Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as experience crime.
Abra, abra, cadabra.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'm gonna reach out and stab you.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Welcome, everybody, to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences that we've learned along the way through, like, I don't know, movies, games, music, other shiznit, doesn't really matter. My name is Sean, and I am on hosting duty this week. And with me, I've brought my good friend Ryan. Ryan, if you were a magician, what would be your magic trick of choice?
Oh, dude, I am so prepped for once on these intros. I've thought about this, and it is to make your desire to see a white man hosted podcast disappear before your very eyes.
And I'm gone. Also with him is Brian. Brian, if you could pull anything from a hat to astonish some folks, what would you pull from a hat?
Probably a big old burrito.
Ooh.
I also have a special magical power where I can take anyone's name and add a B to the front of it.
A B?
And make podcasts very confusing.
A B. What about a Brad? How do you do that with a Brad?
Oh, that'd be a B-Brad.
Mm-hmm. A B-Brad. Oh. You're very fast.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we have Kyle. Kyle, tell me your hopes and dreams.
Oh. goodness.
Oh, that's
to,
great. You're
pull a burrito out of a hat.
Moving on. So. I'm just kidding. What's
hey,
up,
hey, that's
Kyle?
My shtick.
I copied Brian. That was it.
Oh, man. Boys, I brought you together this week to talk about a little flick starring Steve Buscemi, Steve Carell, Olivia Wilde, and Jim Carrey. And James Gandolfini, is that his first name, is James?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I nailed
Gandalf.
That first try.
I was going to say, his friends called him Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, I can't
Alan
claim to
Arkin.
Be one of those.
Yeah, Alan Arkin. The
for
G.
Little flick called The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. Boys. Had any of you seen this movie prior?
I no. had not.
I have also never seen this before.
Hey! I love
but it came highly recommended by my girlfriend?
Okay.
So, did you know that we were doing that this week when
no.
you guys had watched it?
No, we've been talking about this movie, or she's been talking about this movie for, like, months now, and we finally were like, all right, we're going to watch it tonight. After we get back from this kindergarten registration, which is the reason I wasn't on last week's episode. And then as we finished the episode, I get the message. Or as we finish the movie, I'm like, wait a minute. We're talking about what? I literally just watched that.
That's incredible. When
absolutely
you sent
insane.
That, I thought that you had already known that we were doing it. And you were just way ahead of the curve.
I had a feeling deep in my soul that we would be talking about it soon.
Soon. That soon came very fast.
Based on what happened with the wonderful story of Henry Sugar, I was like,
yes.
We're going to be talking about magic sometime soon here.
Yeah, it was a quick pivot last week. Not even a pivot. It was just like, I forgot it's my week next week. And so, ta-da, I pulled that out of my hat. It's crazy.
Nice.
I just saw that a couple of weeks ago, the time of recording, 3 weeks ago, was the 12th anniversary of this movie coming out, which is impeccable timing.
Yeah.
I guess
timely.
It doesn't really matter.
It's been 5 minutes, so I can say it. I was just going to say, do you think that Brian watched the movie because you mind-raped it into him, Sean?
Brain-raped. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got it confused
with fucking Chris Angel's mind freak.
Yeah,
I don't see how.
Because that's who he's playing.
I thought it was David Blaine.
It's like both of them.
It's a combo platter.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan being the
I'm
most sarcastic
so
I've literally ever seen
yep.
him. Were you guys into magic as kids? Maybe whether it be like watching magic tricks or you got those little shitty like $5 like put your finger in a trap thing. Or look, I can cut a pencil in half.
When we first get to see that the contents of the Rance Holloway magic starter kit, I was like, oh, I think I had one of these. I had every single one of those little tricks.
The rope and the cup and balls.
Definitely the cup and ball. And the little blue guy with the red ball inside definitely had one of those hanging around my entire life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was also always super into magic.
Yeah?
I grew up like...
Did you have any kits?
I didn't have a kit myself. A bunch of my friends had kits. I never wanted to learn tricks because, again, ADHD. Like, I like to watch them and be amazed, but I didn't give a shit. Like, and I like to know how they worked, but I wasn't going to learn them. But like,
also,
I don't know.
If you ain't the
my
best,
mom would always
you're
watch.
Last.
There'd be like a couple of David Copperfield specials on TV, and I remember watching those with my mom and...
Oh, yeah.
Magicians at birthday parties. I always thought they were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Little did we know.
What about you, Ryan?
I loved magic as a kid. Same, the sets you're describing, I had those sets. I practiced. I loved them. I stopped very quickly because the people I showed were my friends and family who were not supportive and did not think it was cool at all.
Isn't that the worst, dude?
I know. And I have no fucking spine, and I definitely didn't back when I was a kid. So I was just like, yep, all right, so magic's not for me, obviously. I'm just not good at it, and I better do something else. And just moved on to something else.
That was my exact trajectory.
Is it? Like, all right, good. I'm glad I'm not alone.
I can think back to when I was in second grade and I had a couple of those little, you could buy them in one little packs per. It was like a box of a trick, right? And there's like a guillotine one that you can put your finger in and like the blade spins around your finger. Or there's one where you could put a pencil in and you go like this in the center and you pull it to the side. And it's like, oh my God, it broke. Whatever. And then you put it
back
together.
You're unlocking memories.
Whatever.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. I love those so much, but I was so into it and literally nobody else was. And then flash forward 6 years to eighth grade, this kid, Keith in my class.
Fucking Keith.
Did this, Keith did this card trick. Dude, I still think, guys, I think about this trick several times like a year. Several times a year. I'm not going to exaggerate and say every month. Several times a year, I think about this trick and I'm like, I wonder how he did that. Like, I am still obsessed. 20-something, 30, I don't know. 20-something years later, let's go.
You know what's crazy? Keith doesn't even remember how it's done.
Keith, if I was just thinking the other day while thinking about for this show, if I saw Keith and I was like, hey, remember that magic trick you said you did in eighth grade? He'd probably look at me and be like, what is wrong with you?
Dude, are you stalking me?
Oh my God.
There's only two answers to that. It's no or yeah, I'm a professional magician now.
I'm definitely not. Thanks for coming to the cafe, Keith. Anyways. I wish I was so envious too of like how much support or like just the amount of friends that he must have had to at least have one friend that was really into that, encouraged him to keep learning stuff. Cause man, right there with you, Ryan.
I'm pretty sure the only reason I had a magic kit was because I had a friend who had one and I was like, that's pretty cool. And he wouldn't like come to school and do magic stuff. He just had it at home and he had a sleepover party. And I was like, You got magic stuff over here? And he starts doing some tricks. And I'm like, this is pretty neat. So then I got my own kit and I was bad. I was so bad at it that I was like, okay, well, I tried. At least now I know all the secrets behind everything he did. And then promptly gave up.
At what point did you just pull the plug on that machine? And you're like, I'm just going to let this die.
I have vivid memories of doing some rope tricks at my grandmother's house and going, it worked better in my head. But they can definitely tell how I did that. So I think I'm done now.
From my point of view, I can definitely see how I did this. They can too, right? Is honestly also probably what I would have been doing
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for our characters in the incredible Burt Wonderstone, there was some support along the way. You guys want me to get down into this breakdown? Phrasing. That was weird. That came out odd. I'm going to get into this breakdown.
Do you guys
want to do the five category thing?
I'm thinking.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Break it
down. All right, guys. Listeners, if you haven't watched this, go watch it. Pause here. Or actually don't. It doesn't even matter if you know the story to this. Spoilers.
Okay. Yeah, you'll guess it.
Yeah, you're going to get there. It's like that magic trick that you feel like you know how they're going to do it or what's going to happen. He's going to guess my card. Right? Right. Anyways, Albert is just a young kid in the early 70s with a single mom who is always working doubles and a face that is always in need of a punching. But one year on his birthday, a trajectory for a new life is going to set course when he comes home from school to a Rance Holloway magic kit and a birthday cake that he gets to bake himself. He is enamored. He found an escape from the bullies and an entrance to some happiness. And along with that, he gained a new friend, a frail, possibly testosterone-deficient boy named Anthony, who also becomes entranced by this magical world, and they set off to begin their magical friendship. Let's flash forward about 20 years, and a very hungry Burt Wonderstone and Anton Marvelton are taking Vegas by storm, where they land a residency at the Bally's, which is operated by Doug Money. Fantastic name for a casino owner. After about 10 years, though, things are starting to look grim. The act is getting very stale. Burt has let fame and money get to his head, and resentments are growing, and there is a brain rapist on the loose. Well, Steve Gray, a Criss Angel-style performer, is captivating fans away from a traditional magic with his brain rapist TV show. After a failed publicity stunt results in a very public falling out, Burt finds himself without a gig. Trying to get himself back on his feet, he finds himself entertaining at a retirement home, where he befriends an elderly Rance Holloway, who reminds him of what makes magic so special. Through working with Rance, Burt regains a sense of his true self, reunites with Anton and their former assistant Nicole,
Jane,
in an attempt to earn a new residency in Doug's new casino and hotel. Well, Doug. They set out to accomplish a magic trick that they never quite were able to figure out, making the audience disappear. In essence, the incredible Burt Wonderstone is about getting older and the experiences gained along the way.
Oh.
Hey.
Did the thing. I see what you did there.
Did the thing. Bow, 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 bow. That's how the whole thing started. That was my opening line. And then I'm like, oh, I can build from here.
Let's I can go this backwards to get there.
Okay, guys. That is the story of this movie. And I am going to do this a little bit different. We are going to be going through the five categories, but I'm just going to do it in a different order because coming right hot off the back of me going through the synopsis, I would actually want to start with story here instead of characters. Go from story to characters, then style, entertainment, direction, if that's cool with you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I like
it. Like to share some thoughts on the story first. No taker. So I'm just
not. I'll go at once.
I don't like. I think there's a lot of parts of it that hit really well. It's hard. Like, I don't know, man. I kind of guess I found the story overall just pretty middling. Like, it wasn't surprising. I knew what was going to happen. There's some fun stuff that happens in it, and it's kind of a new, unique scenario. But in my opinion, I kind of don't think they played with it enough, and they hemmed more generic almost. And I think, to me, to the story's detriment. So overall, I gave it a smack dab in the middle 3.
Right on.
Yeah.
Since everybody was jumping at it, I'll hop in after Kyle and mostly agree here. I feel like it is a very generic paint by numbers. It's formulaic. It's very predictable. And in that, I actually enjoy that about this movie. I don't think that a lot of movies can get away with that. In something like this, I enjoy it as almost like, I like the story. I like that this is the kind of movie that can just always be playing at any time, you know, and jump in, jump out, whatever. But in terms of story, motivation, stuff like that, it's very, for me, down the middle. Plays it safe, but I don't think they had any reason to not. So I'm also just going to give it a 3. I'm just going to kick it around to Ryan. That's cool.
To clarify, we're back to the out of 5, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm right there with y'all for 3 then. I think generic's a very good term for story, though I will say I think I'm much more maybe positive on the story than it seems like you two are. I like the story. I actually like the story here quite a bit. It's nothing special or fancy, but it is surprisingly like touching and really like works on you, and it kind of shouldn't. And I think the reasons why it kind of shouldn't, we'll get into like maybe style and direction, because I think there are two competing tones. But the story itself, I think, actually works. So I think I'm going to be a 3, but I'm going to be a very enthusiastic 3. I'm a very high 3.
Yeah, 3!
That's about where I'm at. Like, there's a reason why off the air last week, I only just heard it because I was editing the Patreon earlier today that comes out a couple days ago, where I caught myself saying, Ryan, I can't wait for you to see this. It is not a very good movie, but I love this movie.
I get like, it.
I do love the story, and I do think it's very, I do think it's very middling in a lot of spots, but I love the story. But
I think it's got a very sweet undercurrent that really elevates it. And places where some of the other things might not work, it has a good spirit to it, I think.
Like, even having the sense of Bert, like, starting off so innocent as a kid who's just bullied all the time, to just becoming this pompous dickhead with a weird accent, to losing everything, and just, like, oh, no, women are beneath men, to, like, having this whole little redemption comeback thing in the next 20 minutes. It was nice. Brian, what are your thoughts?
I'm not going to buck any trends here. I'm also going to give this a 3. The screenwriters Daly and Goldstein went through 15 different drafts over a 3.5-year period for this movie. And I think it shows, because the original story was written by Chad Colchin, and it was originally going to have a lot of illusions and tricks that could only be accomplished with movie magic. And when the director, Don Scardino, got attached to it, he's like, no, I want to reel this in and make it believable on screen. Illusions that could actually be done in a show, just to ground it and make it feel like something you could relate to. And I was like, and that's a good thing. I think that's the right move. But you could tell that they didn't quite know the tone they wanted to give this thing, if they wanted it to be a bromance, a bromcom, or if they wanted it to be this, the old burnt out, washed out magician finding the magic again and overcoming the new hotness. There's a lot of competing storylines here.
Ultimately, and at the end
they just kind of go with the most generic, straightforward, like, let's wrap all this up with a bow, and a lot of convenient things happen with Jim Carrey's character, and it's a 3. It's I don't know if I'm as enthusiastic about my 3, I do enjoy the movie, and I think like Ryan said, there's definitely this charm to it that really ties the whole thing together. 3.
Yeah. I at the end of the day, I personally wish they went more of a focus more on the but older magician trying to find that groove back over this new edgy. Yeah.
The Cars 3 storyline.
Yeah. As opposed to Like,
what a reference.
The whole, when him and Nicole got together there at the end, I was like, hold on.
Yeah, that I do have problems with that, but I think we'll address that in character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, you had just mentioned that, you know, there's a certain charm to it, alluding to what Ryan had said. And I think, personally, I think a lot of that does come down to the characters that are in this movie and what they bring to the table. So with that, Brian, do you want to just follow it up with how you feel about the characters?
Yeah. I feel like the trajectory that you have Steve Carell's character of Burt Wonderstone go on is a very believable one. He's this kid who finds magic. It is the thing that it sparks something within him, and it starts this friendship with Steve Buscemi's character in Anton Marvelton. And they have a lifelong friendship that propels them into the spotlight. And then, as you often see with people that are in this bubble, they kind of just get burnt out on it. They do the same show every night, and it starts to peter out, and they need something new to come in and spark it. And it all reads as authentic from both of these characters. And I love Steve Buscemi's character here. When they split off, he goes off to Africa or some mission trip, and he's like trying to Indonesia. Yeah, I think you're right. It's Indonesia. He's trying to help these kids with magic instead of food and water. Ooh. It's so good.
And I mean, the payoff to that when they meet back up again at the end of the movie. And he's like, it turns out they don't actually want magic. They want food. It turns out they just want
food and water.
Fools.
And you got Bert being like, fools.
I think the casting in this is absolutely insane. Like, every few minutes they'd introduce a character and I'd be like, holy shit, this guy's in it too? I mean, Alan Arkin, James Gandolfini, Jim Carrey is just, this is a Jim Carrey that we haven't seen since the 90s. He is doing the full facial thing that Jim Carrey was known for back in the day. All the slapstick physical comedy, brilliantly done. And then like cameos from Brad Garrett and David Copperfield, Jay Moore, and just people you don't expect to see. Like, this is nonstop in this movie.
Yeah.
Then you get Olivia Wilde. And I don't have any issue with her acting in this movie, but her character is just, would say it was not well written, but I don't think they wrote her character.
Yeah.
I do like that she has a little bit of a redemption arc at the end where they're like, oh, actually, she's like a really good magician and she's going to be part of her act now. But like, man, does she have to go through the ringer to get there?
Yeah. And I feel like as you're watching it, it was nice to see for every like terrible thing that's tossed her way, there's like some fighting back against that. And then it's just like, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. But I'm like, man,
but then they also undo all of it by having her get together with Steve Carell's character.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a lot of objectification.
Much objectification. Like for most of the movie, they don't even use the correct name for her.
Yeah. Yep. There's a point where she was like speaking for all prior Nicoles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What? You're forgiven. Like,
honestly, that was the one part I had a big problem with, because she says, speaking for all other Nicoles, I forgive you. And it's like, bitch, none of them would have forgiven him. You can't do that.
Here's me being the voice of all women. But I think overall, I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they actually did a really good job with 90% of these characters.
Yeah. What about you, Kyle? That you had some surprise in there. So let's see the other side of the fence here.
Yeah, because honestly, I kind of disagree with everything Brian said.
That's fine.
I feel when... All right, so I have not seen this movie because I never really heard much good stuff about it. And then when you recommended it and I saw the cast, I was like, oh, fuck, this has got to be great. And then I feel, I don't know, I felt like they wasted everyone in this movie. I feel like Steve Buscemi was great, but I don't know, like, he's not there for half the movie.
Yeah.
Steve Carell can carry a flick, but Mandy made a point, and I could not see it this way. She's like, this is like Michael Scott playing Michael Scarn, his Burt Wonderstone character.
I can see mm-hmm. that.
The best part of the movie for me was James Gandolfini. I feel like he fucking was crushing it and cruising on all four cylinders. And I also really like just him and Buscemi interacting together. I don't know if this was before or after season 5 of Sopranos when Buscemi is on.
I think it had to be way after.
Okay. It's way after.
This is 2013, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is actually Gandolfini's last acting role.
Was it?
What? No.
In film.
Damn.
Oh, that's an interesting fact.
Well, props to the great one. But yeah, I don't know. It was overall, like, I liked a lot of them. I did like Jim Carrey a lot, but I didn't like the Chris Angel stick, and maybe that's just because I don't like Chris Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Which could very well be a big thing. But I don't hate it. I'm not negative, but I'm going 2 on it. Last point, I do feel Carell also, like Carrey, is a very physical actor, but I think maybe he's still also very improv-y based, and I don't know, I just didn't feel a lot of the same energy from him I do in a lot of his other roles, so that was just it too, but 2 overall.
I will agree that Steve Carell almost felt like the weakest part of this cast, mm-hmm. which is a shame because he was the lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to jump into. I'm going to jump in and kind of like go between the two of you, kind of. I'm going to pull little parts from each, but one big thought that I had throughout this movie is how inconsistent Steve Carell's character is in here. You know, you have Albert as a kid, very put together, rational, you know, getting beat up, sure, whatever. He's a bullied kid, to he's an adult just doing the Steve Carell thing. And it felt a little, in parts, just way too over the top for whatever the situation was. And I'm like, okay, so Steve Carell is just doing the Michael Scott thing, or the just yelling loud noises, you know, do the Brick Tamblyn thing. And I thought that Steve Buscemi absolutely killed this. I didn't realize until a couple of days ago, I forgot that James Gandolfini was even in this. And I was talking to somebody at work, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure James Gandolfini's in there. I'm like, no way. And sure enough, he pops up as Doug. I'm like, fuck.
I do have a clarification on Gandolfini. This was his last role that aired while he was alive.
Oh, okay.
Was it
he did have a couple of posthumous releases.
I remember it was like some kind of gritty crime movie, I thought.
The Drop.
The Drop. That's it.
But on the flip side of, you know, on the other side of that, I feel like most of the characters really worked for me outside of that one little asterisk there. I think Jim Carrey's Steve Gray was a fantastic antagonist in this movie. I think Chris Angel is so perfectly 2005, 2006, you know, in the time that he was relevant. And for some reason, people were really into him. Just screams everything about that weird ass era, and being put on full display in a 2013 movie, a little weird, but it was fun to go back to and just see the crazy weird ass shit that he was doing. Like when he's laying down on the coals and he like goes to sleep and then just like wakes up screaming every 2 seconds. Oh, it tickled my fancy there.
It's good stuff. That's some classic Jim Carrey.
But I also think a lot of the, again, I think it does come back to the character of Bert. Like a lot of the problems that I have with the Jane character is that Bert's just so awful in a lot of spots.
Right.
I'm gonna ride this on a very enthusiastic 3 and send it on to Ryan to finish this off for characters.
I echo a lot of what everybody said. I think Steve Carell might be the weakest part of this movie. His shtick does not work for me. I don't know what he was doing here. It's not funny enough, nor is it not real enough. He doesn't ever come across as a real character, when I do feel like Steve Buscemi is able to do that, surprisingly. And he shouldn't be, because he's also doing like a very like funny character too. But like, he comes across in a more believable way. I think largely of everybody who who's gone so far, I think I might align closely with Kyle on this one. I really loved what Buscemi and Carrie did. God, respect to the man, Gandolfini. I actually thought this felt like him just kind of phoning it in. I thought he was fine. I wasn't, like, wowed by him. I was really disappointed, and you can look at, like, the cast list. The woman representation is awful. It's really bad. You all have talked about Jane / Nicole. And I will also point out, yes, of course, this is of the era, like, this came out the same year, very close, like Star Trek Into Darkness, which had like Alice Eve, like the hot blonde woman, just stripped down to her underwear for like a scene to be sexually tantalizing, because of course this is what we do and we still haven't gotten past this yet. But Olivia Wilde is 100% that character. Jillian Jacobs, like a fucking wonderful comedian, is just wasted here to be a sex object and use. And like, of course, it's part of like the arc of the character, but when the arc of the character feels about as real as Leslie Nelson in like the Naked Gun movies, I don't fucking kind of care. So the characters did not win me over. I think this is a great cast. I love Alan Arkin too. I wish we can talk about Alan Arkin a lot more. I love him.
Oh yeah,
just in general, but he adds a lot to this. I love Jay Moore's little cameo. He made me fucking laugh and chuckle quite a bit. So there are things that work, but just there's a bit of a sour taste in my mouth with how they handled some of the characters. And again, like the clashing tones, and I'm going to be just a straight two.
You have convinced me, based on the performance of the titular character, to reduce mine to a 3, an enthusiastic 3 instead of a dirty 4.
The dirty 4 that didn't earn it.
I like that qualification.
I really thought that if we had more of the Steve Carell, Burt Wonderstone of like the, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the movie, the him connecting with Rance Holloway and him being more of a real person instead of this over-the-top caricature that he was for so much of it, this might be a different conversation. I think
they spent too much of the movie on the despicable nature of what he had become before he rediscovered the magic.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, I think I even read something from the director that was like, Carell was mostly filmed on the strip because that was like his persona of, he was a creature of the strip. And Carrie was filmed around Fremont Street because he was a different kind of guy coming up, and what he said was the decision to film the characters in these environments was saying that they come from two different worlds of Vegas, and it helps define their talent and the ever-changing strip versus the frozen in time aspect of Fremont Street, which it gets confusing because they're showing up in the opposite area of what their talent is doing. Interesting stuff. For a movie that I don't think...
very fascinating.
Capitalized on all the thought that went into it?
Yeah. No. That's a bummer. I didn't come across more clearly to me.
Yeah. All right. So with story... I'm sorry. With characters out of the way, I actually kind of appreciate how all over the place that was in terms of numbers until the end there when we got an amendment from Brian down to a 3, but hey.
I bucked to the peer pressure.
No, don't do that.
It was a nice spread.
No, it wasn't peer pressure. It was a realization more than anything. Like, Steve Carell was kind of weak, and he was.
The amount of times that I've just like adjusted my number because I say it and then I listen to 3 other people and I'm like, fuck, they're all right.
They are right.
God damn it. I came in too hot.
That's why I don't want to go first.
The next topic for discussion is the style. It's covering the style, tone, the genre, music. Ryan, do you want to kick us off on this one?
Whew. I guess I will. I'm going to have to pick an adjective for my number because I don't think I'm going to be really happy on one or the other, but I'm kind of down the middle. I think a lot of this is kind of generic, the word of the day that we used earlier. But there is a charm. There are some things that work. I really like a lot of, like, I think when they're doing the parody for, like, the Mind Freak stuff, I think it's done well where they take it to the sufficient, like, stupid lengths they need to of, like, getting punched and then, like, in the bruise, he cuts out the card. And, like, that's the absurd lengths I think this needs to go for that.
Use it, Pete, in 10 days.
But it then conflicts with, like, this really sweet, earnest opening. And if I'm honest, like, the first 10 minutes of this movie might be my favorite 10 minutes of this movie, because I just think it's so pure. And, like, I get the love of magic. And, like, that's the theme of this. Like, right there, that's your key for the whole movie. That's the thing that unlocks everything. That's the thing that gets Steve Carell back. It is the love of this thing and the awe and wonder of this thing that can connect you and just surprise you. And it's, like, really cool. But then we do, like, these really crazy... So it's always competing. And then I think the music's awful. Outside of Abracadabra. I love Abracadabra.
Abracadabra's so good.
Never speak ill of the Cars. Ever, ever. But I want to say, is it an Imagine Dragons song that, like, immediately pops up?
God, that
I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm on top of the world. Hey, that was in fucking every movie of 2013. So, like, again,
butthole.
Generic. And I want to, like, I don't know if it's going to be your two or three. So, like, same. Y'all are going to talk and my number might shift. But I think I'm going to go, because, again, my experience was mostly positive with this movie. I will go with a dirty 3 that could shift depending, but it's dirty.
Okay. Ryan, where do you want, who do you want to take off next? You send it to somebody.
I feel like Brian might have a good counter.
You,
I think he might,
I'm
go
gonna
higher.
Be the one to counter you.
Yeah.
Okay. The music, I am in full agreement with you. I love Abracadabra. I could have done without the "I'm on top of the world." Hey, the score—I don't remember a damn thing from it.
Yep,
not a single thing. The way the movie looks is—it's fine. You know, it's a brightly lit. Well, that's the thing, though. I feel like tonally this thing shifts so many times. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't know if it wants to be a parody or if it wants to be this heartfelt re-coming of age. I don't even know what you call this, the redemption story, or if it's, I think it gets lost in itself.
Recondemption.
A recondemption.
We made a new genre, folks.
Writing that one down.
And then you add in, like, the weird love story aspect with Olivia Wilde's character that doesn't make any sense, because, like, she should hate this man with her entire being. And then I love all of the Mind Freak stuff. Chris Angel is such a time capsule of what the magic community was 10 years before this movie came out. Mm-hmm. And like, anytime somebody says Chris Angel, it immediately transports me right back to, like, college. And, like, he was huge, mm-hmm, in that 2005, 2006 time. And he was everywhere and unavoidable, inescapable. Those two words that I was just trying to combine. And we're not going to invent another new word.
Recondemption.
Yeah. Recondemption. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's weird how we keep coming up with words and they always have come in them.
As the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Comes everywhere.
stylistically, I like how they did the actual magic. I think there's something to be said about having Copperfield on staff as a consultant with the practical effects, and he even had them sign NDAs. A lot of the cast and the crew had to sign NDAs to protect the secrets that Copperfield revealed to make the illusions believable on film.
Oh, cool.
Teller of Penn and Teller has claimed that this is his favorite movie about magic.
Okay.
Wow.
Penn Jillette, on the other hand, he has praised the film, but his favorite is still 1953's Houdini.
Okay.
Wow. Sure. I'm surprised neither said The Prestige.
I know, that's, yeah.
That's
crazy to me.
It's too dark. It's too dark and cynical.
But The Prestige is the one that's just got, like, that's not even about magic. That's just...
I mean...
Is that The Illusionist?
No.
I don't think so.
The Illusionist was The Prestige. He's correct.
Yeah.
But also, like, spoilers for The Prestige.
For a while, it used to be... a bit, and now I honestly can't remember which one.
It is correct. The Prestige is
the one with the spoiler.
Yeah.
Sean's been fired tonight.
Nikola Tesla and
Wait till you guys hear what I got to say about the Switch.
Man, well, I guess we're not talking about The Prestige next week. Cross that off.
It's been like fucking 10 years, guys. Come on.
At least,
all of that is to say a 3.
Oh, okay. Nice. I really thought you might be higher.
No, I respect what they did with the actual magic, but outside of that, this movie doesn't know what it wants to be.
It's fair.
And the way it's filmed and the way it's scored reflect that.
Brian, where will you send it?
Oh, why don't we hear from you, Sean?
Awesome. 10 out of 10 soundtrack. The most beautiful Sean's
on top of the world. Hey.
Hey. Honestly, I don't hate that song nearly as much as everybody else does. I have a weird...
I don't hate it, but song. I don't it's think it belongs in movies.
The song that was used in everything. That's my issue.
Yeah, I've seen like 4 movies from 2000.
It's like when I hear CCR when we're doing a jungle theme, I'm like, fucking get a new idea.
That's fair. That is fair. I really loved the line from Gandolfini when he's like, what's this abracadabra song? You've been using this song for like 10 fucking years.
Yeah, but it's great.
So good. But there's that. There's the, oh, it's magic. Like at the end of the movie. I thought, in terms of things that like tie into the theme of the movie, that was a nice touch, but it lasted for like 5 seconds. So music doesn't play a huge factor in this. As you guys said, tone and style, I think, were just really all over the place. I didn't realize that all of those tricks were done with like consultants and were pretty practically done. I didn't realize that everybody on set was partially deboned. crazy. there was actually a couple parts where I'm like, oh, wow, that's just they did that for the ha-has on screen. There's no way that that could have been done. Whereas, like, perhaps it would. And that's pretty cool. And genre, like, I don't know. I'm just, man, I'm a sucker for anything that's like magic related. Sign me the fuck up. That's an automatic like bonus point for me. But
did
I
you hear the news that there's a new Now You See Me coming out?
Yes, there's Now You See Me 3 and a fourth one that's been announced as well.
How is it not Now You
Micah told me about
me.
That last week.
It's actually, I think it's called Now You Don't.
Yeah.
Did they finally do it? That's what the second one should have been.
I feel like they should have just called it Now You Don't, but they actually called it Now You See Me, Now You Don't. And it's like, okay, hit us with those heavy hands.
Yeah.
Now You See Me 2, Now You Don't. That's the fourth one.
Yeah, and it's because like consumers are stupid.
Now you three me, now you don't.
Oh, that's nice. Nice. PlayStation needs to get like a Spider-Man. Never mind. I'm digging myself way too far into this. All of this to say, I love things about magic. I wish that this movie had more of a focus into what its identity should have been and was a little bit more focused. Man, the Mind Freak, the Criss Angel stuff.
Dude, the Criss Angel stuff is so good.
Like, how did they get away with, like, him just slowly slicing his face open and sticking his fingers in his face? This movie had me questioning whether or not it was PG-13 or R several times.
Honestly, like, I feel like without all that, it could have been a PG movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. But even, you talked about the Jane and Nicole character. Like, One of the first lines we hear from her after she's stripped into her underwear and put into a costume and shoved into a locker is, I idolized you for the last 10 years and you made me hate you in a minute, mm-hmm. in 60 seconds. Like, there's no way that there should have been that much of a bounce back at the end. But I think that's a discussion for one of the previous topics. All of this just to say, three. That leaves you, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, we said it a billion times, generic, uninspired. The style is pretty reminiscent of that too. It has some glimmers, and I wonder if that was just left over from one of the many rewrites. But that said, I was content to give this a straight down the middle three to you guys reminded me of that fucking song, and that song fucking sucks. I hate that thing. And they play it twice, so I took a point off. This gets a two.
Oh. All right.
Punished He's for the dragons. Top of Can the you world. Imagine?
Hey! Man, motherfucker.
Oh my god. Guys, this leads us into our final category, direction, which will be about... Oh no, we have entertainment.
Now there's two categories.
Hell yeah. Okay. I was padding out there because I thought there was only one more. Entertainment. I'm going to give this. I'm just going to jump in. This covers general enjoyability, box office, and impact on the genre and industry. This movie, I don't even think, made back its money. It was a big old flop. Yep. But based on, I'm going to take away general enjoyability and insert my enjoyability, because this is about me, I'm going to give this a big, fat, super enthusiastic four, because all of those things said, I love this movie. I saw it in theaters, and I think I saw it in theaters twice.
Damn.
And, yeah. I
That's four times hearing that Imagine Dragons song.
And that was just in theaters. I've heard it four more times this week.
Yeah, you must be on top of the world.
This week. Hey. So, hey. Hey, Ryan, you're up next.
Oh, no. All right. Oh, no. This is direction, right?
This is entertainment.
No, enjoyability.
Oh.
Entertainment.
Oh, okay. Cool. Then I might not be that far off. I will be a little bit lower. I think I'm going to be a three again, because this is a messy movie. We've talked about its messiness. I won't elaborate, but I will say, like, I still had a good time. I laughed at quite a bit of the gags. There were a lot of bits that I think are pretty inspired, even if it doesn't all, like, sing in the way that it should. Like, I think this movie is ultimately, like, really confused if it wants to go more of this. It's just confused in this genre. It needs to be a lot funnier, or it needs to dig into its characters more. And it's in this weird fugue state that just does not work for me for a lot of it. But I can't lie and say I didn't have a smile on my face during a lot of it. So I think it's like a three for me, not much higher than that. But I enjoyed it. I think it's a super enjoyable flick.
Nice.
Even Kyle. As problematic as it is.
Which is weird for a 2013, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I expect that from 2001 or obviously like 1988, but like 2013, come on. You're like 5 years now. From me too.
Yep.
It's still happening. I'm also in the three, but for a different reasoning. Overall, I kind of felt the movie not great and entertaining. I didn't laugh a lot, but the times that I did laugh, they were pretty good chuckles. And
it was a hearty chuckle.
I would like to take this time to just point out some of the jokes that I thought really landed well. And number one was, of course, Jillian on the other side of the biggest king bed ever and trying to get over. So really good. Great bit that they also set up nicely. That was good joke writing. I laughed quite a bit at that. Gandolfini just agreeing that his son has grown quite... What I forget even the line, but he just goes, yeah. I don't know, just that delivery got me. And the entire bit after Steve Buscemi quits... And he does the whole two-man bit as a single person.
Yes.
Even yes.
Up to the cloak joke where, like, he puts it on and then just, like, crouch walks all the way. Just all of that fucking hits so well. Shockingly, really, a lot of the Jim Carrey stuff fell kind of flat for me. Weird, oh, I know.
Okay.
A lot of it didn't really work. So overall, I'm giving it a 3. So, but I just wanted to point out some of those bits that I thought really hit.
It's talking about the Jim Carrey stuff. I thought the bit with the after the screwing into his head at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that, and those two parts I did like.
Oh my god! Everything like following that had me laugh. I'm way ahead of my time.
I love that they committed to him doing it. I was like, no, surely they're not going to let him fucking lobotomize himself. Oh, they did. Oh, okay. I was like, kudos. That was Ryan, not generic.
The problems that this movie has aside, and there are a few of them, I had a hell of a time watching it. I mean, I was really enjoying it.
Good.
Sean, earlier you said something about like this is a good movie to put on in the background and like you can tune in and get something from it and then go back to whatever you're doing. And any moment that you turn to the TV, it's going to be something fun. And maybe not the most cohesive or genre enriching. Is that the word I'm looking for? No. It's not true to a particular genre. It doesn't know what it wants to be, but it is fun the whole way through. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, Bert learns the lesson of, you know, not being such a douche nozzle through his issues that come across when he loses his job and he has to, you know, go work at the nursing home and rediscovers his love of magic. And there's something really lovely about that. And then to turn all of that into a trick where he literally drugs his entire audience and drags their bodies around. Fantastic. Hilarious. I love it. So yeah, this is going to be a 4 for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end where they're just chucking bodies into the
so
trailer.
Good. They're really walking good around with a prosthetic leg. Like, who does this go to?
Yo, also doing makeup on people that they just have, like given black eyes.
Yes. Just putting foundation on. But that scene right before it cuts to credits where the guy wakes up and Steve Carell just goes like, just close your eyes. Close your eyes. I was like, oh so my good. God, that's the most magician thing ever. But you just said something about like, he loses everything and he's, you know, regaining himself. Like, man, one of the funniest parts, this is so sad. I don't know what this says about me, but one of the funniest parts in this movie to me is when he's trying to stay at Nicole's house and he gets in and he's eating. He's like, I'm so hungry. I almost ate one of my rabbits, but they're infested with lice. What even? Look at me. I'm in this shitty little apartment eating this. What is this? A slop? I'm just like, dude, you are so unaware of yourself. This is so awful. But I couldn't help but laugh. But direction is the last
real
category.
Quick, I would like to change entertainment value to a dirty 4 for me because I forgot completely the chucking the sleepless bodies around. And like that made me die. I thought that was so fucking clever. I'm a dirty 4.
You are
dragging the guy down the stairs by his ankle and just smacking his back.
So fucking good.
It's so fucking funny. Oh man. Okay, so last category, direction. Brian, can you lead us off here?
Don Scardino is a TV director. When it comes down to it, this man is prolific on television. He's directed episodes of Another World, One Life to Live, All My Children. He got his start in the soaps as an actor and then went on to directing. He did Law and Order, a ton of 30 Rock. He's most known for 30 Rock.
Okay.
Two Broke Girls, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Young Sheldon, New Amsterdam. He even did Only Murders in the Building. A few episodes.
What?
Like this guy is still around and still directing stuff. Mostly on TV. He's even directed a couple Broadway musicals. Like this guy has done some things, but not a lot of feature films. And I think that's very apparent here. I don't think he has the ability for the long form. Because even this movie's only 100 minutes and it's still like, it feels kind of episodic. And then he's thinking of it as TV show. And there are certain budgetary limits in television that I think he wasn't used to having a $30 million budget for this and didn't quite know how to spend it. I think actually the money was spent well. He did all right there, but I don't know. I think a lot of your tone issues come from the direction. I think I'm going to give it a 2 on direction.
Yeah. Dang. Who would you like to hear from next?
I want to hear from Ryan.
Shit. God. Okay. Fuck. I'm surprised you went with a 2, and that's thrown me off. Because, shit, I might have been a little bit more positive, but...
Be positive.
Everything you said, I think, really sums it up perfectly. Like, this does feel like TV direction, and there's nothing clever or inventive about any of, like, the transitions, the compositions, the way they block the scenes. None of that. It's very just, like, here it is. We shot this. I forget the joke of, like, what's direction? What do you do? I don't know. You just show up and you shoot the shit. And it's like, that kind of feels like a lot of this movie. They showed up and then they shot the shit. And that's not bad, because, like, if you have a script that makes it sing, or, like, really competent direction of it, like, that works. Like, Aaron Sorkin could get by on really shoddy, like, visuals and whatever. But I don't think anything really sings here to elevate what is ultimately fine. Man, I wish I could split it right down the middle. This is gonna fucking kill me.
The only scene that stands out to me as being well directed is that final trick, that final magic trick, when they do the Rance Holloway in the television, and then the reveal that he's actually there. I think that's actually a very well done scene.
Fantastic.
Agreed.
I think the other thing, one that stands out to me as a even something that doesn't feel just like point and shoot, is and felt at least a little creative, was the scene between Bert and Jane in the locker, where he's being just super sleazy, just nonchalant. He's done this 5 million times, and the swords are coming through. I thought that was cleverly shot, and it was a fun scene to watch. But
maybe
not saying much.
Yeah, I just, like, immediately I would be like, slap a camera on one of those swords. So as it's coming in, you see it going in or something. And just, like, little things I could... there's just nothing explored like that. And I don't know. I feel like I've been agreeing with Brian a lot tonight. So I'll go with a 2. I think that's right. I think it's a pretty...
I'm going to bump it up to... 2. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
How'd you do this to me?
Bait and switch, baby.
No, but I think, yeah, I think it's a high 2. I think it's really close to being a 3.
It's a high 2.
Okay, perfect.
Kyle, then, what do you think?
I guess.
Or Ryan, who do you want to hear from?
That's perfect. I would love to hear from Kyle.
I mean, I'm not, like, much like this movie, I'm not very inspired. I think it's a competent movie. My biggest issue... Can I follow it? Does it make sense? Yeah, it's well put together. It has a story. It hits the parts. It's just also bland. It's not very exciting. Nothing super jumps out. Learning he directed so much TV compared to movie explained a lot. That's why so much seems so flat. And like Ryan said, we're just getting the shot. Like, they could have done so much cool shit with the Jim Carrey mind or brain rapist stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
different twisty camera angle. But it's just like, oh, here we are. Like, I feel like we don't even get the handheld camera of his crew in the shots.
I agree.
Like,
and that's the ones that you do are not inspired at all.
So, yeah, it's just all so, but I don't hate it. There's nothing that, like, was awful or made me just question what the fuck he's doing, too. So, again, middle. I give it a 3.
It felt like he was more scathing than us and then gave it a higher score.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to give it a 2 for all reasons that were previously said, with the addition that, Brian, you said it's a 100-minute movie. this could have easily have been suited at an hour and 27 minutes instead of an hour 40 plus. There's no reason for the extra 10 minutes. And in fact, I think it may have helped some of the tone and some of the tone for sure. Issues that I had in the movie. You could have tightened some stuff up. You could have found a little bit more direction in there. And with not being able to get it down to something that was a little bit more comprehensive, I think is not good. And paired with everything else you guys said, I feel like two is generous.
I totally agree with what you just said about runtime. I think you could either cut 10 minutes from this movie and make it more of a comedy, more of a parody of the entertainment industry, or alternatively add 10 minutes and dive more into these characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, I was agree and disagree for the same reason, because Judd Apatow around this time, and some people don't love it, but like he makes those 2 hour plus comedies. And
yeah,
honestly, those are my jam because they do get more into the characters. But I know a lot of people don't like that. So I do think like that comedy can work. But here, I'm right there with you. It feels like 10 minutes could easily be shaved off and it hurts nothing.
Yeah. Nice. So Brian, I've seen you over there tallying some stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear what us going around here and chatting about this movie, what kind of number this netted us.
Well, if you compare it to the rest of the reviewing world, we were quite generous to Burt Wonderstone. And we gave this movie a total score of 57.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
we fit in there
middling
with the IMDb crew.
Yeah, we're right around the IMDb score.
Wow.
But we blew away the Rotten Tomatoes 37% critical, 33% audience, the Metacritic 44%. So
wow.
And
I guess,
Letterboxd,
you know, we're
2.5.
Still sub 60. You know, if you ain't first, you're sub 60. Is a phrase that's said
definitely something that's common.
Recondition. My story.
Oh, damn it. Wait, can I... One more joke that I just remembered made me laugh.
Yes, please.
They talk about how they're going to blur Steve Buscemi in the video, and then later on we see that footage
yes.
and Steve Buscemi's blurred.
They came Again, back.
There's some good stuff in it, man. There are man. Some good jokes.
That was the second time that he just got ravaged for his looks.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and he never cares.
Gandolfini
he's like, no,
being
it.
Like,
he's like, yeah, no, I'm not
going to can you get rid of your partner here? He's a little homely.
It's like, I
no
get
offense.
It.
Oh, no, it's all good. I get it.
Imagine it's 2012 and you're getting cast in the movie as a young, upcoming actor. And you're like, yeah, I landed a movie part. And then you find out you're playing young Steve Buscemi. Poor Luke Vanek.
Oh, my God.
No. All right.
Man, boys, I'm glad that, you know, some feelings aside on how you thought of this movie, I'm glad that everybody got a chance to watch this, having not seen it before. Wow. Yeah, that was like a double negative.
Having not had to have to do that.
I've Englished before.
I enjoyed it. I'm glad I got to see it.
No, I'm
in all
this
honesty.
One was actually overdue for me, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Nice. I got to watch it with Sarah this afternoon too, and she that entire scene. I don't remember who mentioned the entire scene of Bert reenacting the hangman scene, but by himself, she was laughing the whole time. Like the whole when he's like creeping
that's
up
such
there.
A good bit, man.
Oh my God, that was so funny. And he's so unaware. He's like, I thought that was pretty good. Jesus Christ, dude. Anyways, guys, that wraps up my week. Brian, I think, would be up next. And I am curious as to what you have coming to the guys.
Well, I've been thinking about this for a little while. There's a movie I wanted to talk about for some time. And I'm still kind of riding that sports movie high that we had from Dave a few weeks ago, and I liked what we did tonight with like the rom-com and the elder overcoming adversity of the hot newness, and that's why I want to talk about one of my favorite sports movies of all time, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, which Sean has already referenced at least twice in this episode.
I just watched this months ago. And it is still so fucking good.
Yeah, very nice.
Spoiler.
Wow. It's going to be a hot one, boys.
That is one to look forward to. Listeners, if you somehow have not seen Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, go and watch it. I'll pull back the curtain on that. Like, just go fucking watch it. Like, if you don't like it, you're dead to me. Probably.
You don't like yourself. It, fuck you.
You don't chew big gum, big red gum, fuck you. Yeah. And also, listeners, if you enjoyed what you heard here, head on over to Patreon. Patreon.com/experiencegrind. Sign up for as little as a dollar and get some sweet, hot bonus goodness. Here are voices. Don't know where I'm going, so like a Fran Drescher. Hang on.
That was the John Ralphio sister is who I got. Lisa.
Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa. Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Don't be suspicious.
Anyways, there is some links in the show notes below. Join us on Discord. Have fun in there. We just found out that we can create emotes. And by we, I mean me. Oh. Yo, I already made one of me having two hot wings in my knuckles going ah, and eating one. It says Hungy Boy. That's how you get it. It's pretty
hungy
sweet.
Hungy Boy.
If you're interested in getting your Hungy Boy on, come to the Discord. It's in the notes. But until
it's in the notes.
Then
Hungy Boy. It's in the notes.
Hungy Boy in the notes. Let's go. Kyle, go tell the folks what they can do.
You can go abra abra cadabra yourself.
I'm on top of the world. Hey, hey, hey.